Masechet Ta'anit daf 24, more fantastic stories. A lot of them are on the theme of rain and how even the deeds and prayers of simple people sometimes can be very powerful, even more than sages and well-known righteous people. Okay, so let's see these fun stories. Rabbi Yoseh bar Avin hava shechiyach kamed Rabbi Yoseh demin yukrat. So Rabbi Yoseh bar Avin, he used to study with Rabbi Yoseh from Yukrat. They're both named Rabbi Yoseh, but Rabbi Yoseh bar Avin is the student. One day he left his teacher and he went to a different study circle. He went to study with Rav Asher, and we'll see why he left. Okay, these are Rav Asher's sixth generation, much later. And one day, Rav Asher was quoting Shmuel from the first generation, a halacha that he said, that if on Shabbat you take a fish out of the sea, then once it gets dried, the size of a sela coin dries up on its skin, one is liable for killing the fish. The point is that if you would just take a fish out of water and put it right back, the fish stays alive. It's okay. So you're not liable for anything. Only when you kill the fish, then you're liable. So when is that called killing the fish? It doesn't have to be that it's totally not moving at all. Once it's past the point of no return, once it has that dry spot, then it can no longer live, even if you put it back in the water. So that was the halacha that Rav Asher said in the name of Shmuel. Amar le Rabbi Yoseh, but Avin said, responded to that and said, "Vilemamor uben senapirav." Wait a second, you have to add a condition on that, that the dry spot has to be between its fins. Only if it's there between its fins, that dry spot, it's not viable, can't go back. But if the dry spot is somewhere else, then it could still live. So he's a little bit more lenient by limiting where the dry spot is. Amar le velo savar la amor tahi Rabbi Yoseh ben Rabbi Avin amara. And now Rav Asher, he didn't know who the student was. Apparently, this Rabbi Yoseh, he showed up to class, he's sitting somewhere in the back, and he didn't talk the whole time. And Rav Asher doesn't know the names of all the students that come. So he's been sitting there for a while. And now all of a sudden today, he chimes in and says, he says this comment. Rav Asher says, "Hold on, you're just quoting that on your own? Shouldn't you quote it in the name of Rabbi Yoseh ben Rabbi Avin? I heard it from him. So you should quote something in the name of the master who said it." Amar le ananihu. And the student Rabbi Yoseh says, I am he. I am Rabbi Yoseh bar Avin. I'm the one that transmitted this halacha, and I happen to be here. And so Rav Asher didn't know that it was him sitting there. So you don't have to quote something in the person's name if you're the one that originally said it. So that's why he didn't quote it in his name. Amar le velav kamed Rabbi Yoseh demin yukrat havashichiach mor. Rav Asher says, "Yes, I know you. I've heard of you. But I thought that you were studying with Rabbi Yoseh from Yukrat. Right? You're one of his students. What are you doing here?" Amar lohen. I was a student of his. So Rav Asher says, "Why'd you leave his school and come here to my school?" If a person doesn't have mercy over his own son and his own daughter, then he certainly won't have mercy on me as his student. So now we want to know, what is the story? What did Rabbi Yoseh from Yukrat do to his son and his daughter that turned the student off and said, "I don't want to study with such a person"? Well, here's the story. One day, Rabbi Yoseh from Yukrat, he hired some workers for the day. And the halakha is you're supposed to pay them immediately at the end of the day. You're supposed to give them their salary. Like they depend on it. They're day laborers. That's what they eat. But it got late and Rabbi Yoseh from Yukrat did not give them food. He was away. So they went to his son. His son was home and said, "We're very hungry. We've worked all day, right? You should pay us with food." They happened to be sitting under a fig tree. fig tree was not ripe, was not ready to eat. Amar teena teena, hotzi perotayich ve'ochalu po'ale aba, afik va'achalu. And so the son prayed and said, oh tree, oh tree. Interestingly, he's praying to the, looks like he's praying to the tree. Okay, let's assume he's praying to Hashem. And it says, please make this fig tree yield fruit so that the workers can eat. And a miracle happened. And sure enough, the fig tree brought forth fruit and they ate. They were very happy. In the meantime, well, they finished eating and the father came back. And Amar lehu, latin ketu beda taichu, dahai dena hagana, yamisva tarachna. He says, don't be angry with me. I'm sorry I'm late. I was involved in a mitzvah, important thing. Who knows? He was maybe saving someone. And I was traveling and I couldn't get here any sooner. Please forgive me. I know that I'm supposed to pay you on time. Vad hashtahu diskai. This is, I just got back. And the worker said, no problem, don't worry. May the Hashem, the merciful one, satisfy you just like your son satisfied us. He gave us a whole meal already. Don't worry about it. So the father's wondering, from where? Where did he get food? There's no food in the house. They told him the whole story about how miraculously he made figs grow from the tree. The father was upset about that. We might think he would say, wow, you did such a miracle. You must be so righteous and you took care of these people who were hungry. But that was not his reaction. He said, you bothered your creator that the tree should yield before its time, before it usually does. So you should be gathered before your time. You should die before your time. And that's what happened. The son died. The father cursed the son to die. And so Rav Asher saw Rabbi Yosef, the student, saw that and said, this is what my teacher does. This is how he treats his son. I don't want to be here. Okay, it's an unbelievable story. Why is he so upset about it? Well, he's so upset because this shows the limitations of miracles, right? You don't go and use a miracle for every little thing. It'll be like if you call Bill Gates to say, can you teach me how to sort in Excel, right? You don't bother the CEO for a little thing. So all the more so, you don't bother Hashem for a little thing that a few people, they can wait an hour before they eat. And so therefore, because the father felt that this was a disrespectful and worse, you know, blasphemous way to treat Hashem and make him come and do a miracle. So that's why he was upset at his son. All right. Seems like an exaggerated response, right? But nevertheless, this shows the tension here between the practical use of miracles. All right. Now, what about the daughter? Berate maihi havya le berata be'alat yofihi. This Rabbi Yosef of Yokrat had a daughter who was very beautiful. Yomachad chazia lahu gabra karya behusa beka chazila. One day, the father saw that there was a peeping Tom. There was a guy. He made a hole in the bushes, and he was checking out his daughter. Amar lo mayhai. So Rabbi Yosef sees him in the fence, his eye, you know, looking in. He says, what is this? What are you doing? So the neighbor said, listen, if I don't have the merit to marry her, at least why can't I at least look at her? So the father, instead of blaming the neighbor and saying, keep your eyes to yourself, he instead rebukes his daughter and says, daughter, you're causing people distress. You're causing them to look at you because you're so beautiful. It's your fault. May you return to dust so that people will no longer stumble and to sin because of you. And she dies also. So this Rabbi Yosef ben Yokrat, you see, I mean, he has high ideals, but look at how he practices and he curses his own son and daughter. So the Rabbi Yosef says, I don't want to study with him. And that's why he left and studied with Rav Asher. Okay, so kind of a tension here between high ideals and the kind of the impossibility of ever living up to them. Next story, also about this Rabbi Yosef ben Yochrat. He had a donkey. A donkey people would hire for a day of working, and then they would send it back, and they would put the money for payment for renting out the animal on the back, and it would come back home. It knew its way, it knew how to get back home. But this was a very honest donkey, and he knew how much money they put on the back, and he said he could feel if they paid too much or they paid too little, it wouldn't go. It wouldn't go back home until it got exactly the right amount, not to cheat the owner of the donkey and not to cheat the people that rented it. One day, someone was using it and it was carrying a pair of their sandals, and the person forgot to take off the sandals, and the donkey wouldn't move until the person took off the sandals, and in order not to steal and take something that didn't belong back to the owner. So there you see, Rabbi Yosef ben Yochrat. The Gemara doesn't give a final judgment about him, whether he's righteous or not. He's very particular and exacting. We know for that for sure. And because of that, he himself has a miraculous donkey. On the other hand, the actions that he does to his children is criticized, at least by Rabbi Yosef, his student. Okay, Elazar ish birta kad havu chazu le gabae sedaka havu tashu mine. Okay, now another story about someone who is goes beyond, way beyond the letter of the law and his righteousness, maybe too much. And so you have this this Elazar from Birta. Whenever you would see the people coming to collect sedaka, they would run away from him. Why would they run away from him? Because anything that Elazar had, he would give to them. In other words, Elazar was too generous. He would give away all of his money. We know the halacha, you're not supposed to give away more than 20%. Because if you give away everything you have, then you become poor. We know there were a lot of people during the times of the second Beit HaMikdash and times of the rabbis, they were like extreme ascetics, and they wanted to have no property. If they got something, they gave it away. But then they ended up becoming poor and relying on everyone else. So this is Elazar, and the tzedakah collectors were responsible, and they didn't want Elazar to give everything away, so they hid from him. One day, Elazar was going to the market to get to buy something for his daughter's dowry. It's time for his daughter to get married, and he has to buy something for the swanny. Hazuhu gabae tzedakah tashumine. So the charity collectors saw him, and they hid from him because they don't want to take his money. Azalud hat patraihu. Elazar ran after them. He saw them and he says, wait, what are you doing? Malhu ashba'atihu. B'may askitu. Right? He says, I adjure you. He swears that you have to tell me, what are you doing? Right? What are you collecting for? Amru lebi atom ve'yitoma. We're collecting for an orphan boy, an orphan girl. We have to support them. So he says, I swear by the service of the temple that they are more important than my daughter. They're orphans. They have nothing, right? So more important that the money for my daughter's dowry go to them, and my daughter, she'll do without. Shekal kol dahava bidevi hablehu. He gave them everything. they couldn't turn it down. He forced them. Pashle hadzuza. He kept one zuz for himself. See, maybe he knows halacha, you're not supposed to give away all your money. So he doesn't give away everything. He kept one coin so he can buy at least something. What can you buy for a coin? Zivande haite. He bought himself a little bit of wheat. Ve'asek shadya be'ach leba. He goes home, he has the wheat, and he takes the wheat and he throws it into the granary. All right, that's it. That's what I bought for the dowry. So now the wife, right? The wife knows that he went out to buy something for the dowry. So the wife says to the daughter, what did your father bring for your dowry? You want to see, is it jewelry? Is it new clothes? What did he get? So whatever he brought, he threw into the granary. It's in there. So they went to check it out. Atiyah lemiftach baba da'akleba chazat da'akleba demalya chiteh v'kanafka besinora de'dashah. And they saw the granary was so full of wheat, it was coming out of the door. You couldn't even open the door because it was so full. A miracle happened, and these few grains that he bought miraculously filled up the entire barn. You couldn't even open the door. So the daughter then goes to Beit Midrash, where Elazar went, and says, come see what the one who loves you did for you, meaning Hashem. He did you a great thing. He did you a miracle. You should be happy. But he wasn't. And he said, he swears again by the temple service that they are consecrated for you. You can't use them. Rather, you can take from them only as a poor person would. A poor person has nothing. It can take a little just for your need. You're not allowed to benefit from it. Why not? A miracle happened, so he didn't want to benefit from a miracle. Just like the story before, to be Yosef ben Yukrat, right? He said, we don't ask for miracles. If you're asking for a miracle, you're bothering Hashem. You're making him do something out of the ordinary. And, it's like, if someone doesn't want to benefit from nepotism, right? You happen to know the president and you get your son a job. So, no, I don't want you to benefit in that way, that you get a job just because you know someone and you pulled strings. You should, do it, go through the normal procedure. It's not good to rely on a miracle. And so therefore he would not allow his daughter to use that for her dowry. Okay, really quite a surprising and amazing stories. Okay, next story. Rabbi Yehuda Nisi'ah, Gezar Tanita. Rabbi Yehuda Nisi'ah, he's the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, but he's also the Nasi later, a couple generations later on. And there was no rain, he made a ta'anit. And even though he prayed, the rain did not come. He says, look what the difference is between the level of Shmuel, the prophet who came from Ramah. Shmuel prayed for rain and the rain came. And me, the Yehuda, he doesn't call himself rabbi. Right? Yehuda, the son of Gamliel, and I pray for rain, it doesn't work. He says, I feel bad. Woe to the generation that is stuck with me as its leader. Woe to people that in whose days this has occurred. They have no rain and they have no righteous person to pray for them. So he became depressed. And then the rain came. Why then? Because when he was depressed, he got humble. When he humbled himself, then he was worthy to ask for rain. So ironically, it's the actual rejection that helped him be worthy of requesting rain. He had to be rejected first, feel that humility, and then and shame, and then he could ask for rain. Okay, Debe Nesi'a Gezal Ta'anita. We're going to see a few stories about the house of the Nasi. We already saw yesterday that sometimes there was tension between the Nasi and the rest of the rabbis. I mean, sometimes the Nasi himself was a sage, right? And sometimes they collaborated well, but sometimes the Nasi acted like a dictator and even threatened violence. So there were problems there. So we'll see some more stories like that. So one time the house of the Nasi made a ta'anit. They didn't tell Rabbi Yochanan Shakish, the greatest sages in Israel of the generation. You'd think, they would ask them, what do you think? Should we make a fast, right? Do you agree? But they didn't even inform them. In the morning, they told them, oh, listen, it's going to be a fast day. Okay. And so Amar le Rabbi Shakish Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Shakish tells Rabbi Yochanan, Hala kabilna ale me'urta. So Rabbi Shakish says, this is no good because in order for a fast day to be effective, you have to accept it during mincha on the day before. Right, you have to, or towards the evening of the day before. And then he answers, we follow the house of the Nasi because they're in charge of the whole community. And if they make a fast, so then everybody is included, even if we didn't even know about it before. So yes, what are we going to do? But I think in the question is a little bit of tension, like they should have consulted with us and at least told us about it before. Another time, the house of the Nasi made a fast, but the rain did not come. And so Oshaya, one of the youngest member of the group, he taught them, he quoted a Braita, and the Braita itself quotes a pasuk that says, if it shall be, then it shall be, if it shall be committed in error by the congregation, it being hidden from their eyes. Talking about when the leadership, if the leadership of the community makes a sin, then they have to do teshuvah and bring a korban. So the point of quoting this Braita is not just happen to be quoting a source. His point is that when the leadership is no good, then that's when everyone suffers. So his point is that the reason rain didn't come is because the house of the Nasi is not worthy because they sinned. Wow. Okay, so he's going to get in trouble. We'll see. Mashal lechalashihi bebet abiha. Oshea quoted that, and then he gave a derasha. In derasha, he made a parable like a bride who's still in the father's house. They were engaged to be married, but she's still living in her father's house. And then they're setting the wedding soon. And so she's very modest. Maybe she's like, you know, wearing a burqa. You can only see her eyes. And so as long as her eyes are beautiful, so you don't have to check anything else in her body. You could assume that she's beautiful or her eyes look healthy. So you could assume that she's healthy and that's all that's needed. But if her eyes are thin, bleary, they look something wrong, then we have to, someone has to check to make sure that she's either beautiful or healthy before they will allow the marriage to go through. That's his mashal. What's the nimshal? Nimshal is that the leadership are the eyes. And so if the leaders, the house of the Nasi, are good and righteous, then you know that the whole community will be good and you don't have to check them. Everybody will be worthy and then we could pray and rain will come. But if the leadership has a problem, meaning the Nasi, if you guys are sinning and corrupt, then that problem will trickle down and you can assume that there are problems throughout the community. Okay, Atu Abba David Amu Le Sudra Besavare. He said this in public. So the word got back to the house of the Nasi, and you can't believe the story. The Nasi sent some servants, thugs that worked for the Nasi came, and they put a scarf around the neck of this Oshaya, and they were torturing him. They were like threatening to strangle him. They wanted to shut him up, literally. So the people saw this, the people that lived in the town, and they said, leave him alone. He also torments us, Oshaya. After all, in the speech that he said, right, if the leaders are bad, you can assume the whole community is bad. See, he's speaking badly about us also. He's saying that we are sinners. However, we tolerate it because we know he's Lashem Shamayim. He's not doing this because he's power hungry or for anything personal. He's Lashem Shamayim. He says we need to make teshuvah, and he's including everybody in it. He's not singling you out. So, you know, we tolerate it and we listen to him. You also leave him alone and don't torture him. Okay, so that's, and you can't get a more explicit story about the tension between the Nasi and the other rabbis than this, and the way some of these Nisi'im would abuse their power. Rabbi Gezar Ta'anita. Now it's Rabbi Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He made a fast, but the rain didn't come. So Ilfa, we saw a story about him before, right? Or others say it's Rabbi Ilfa, different person. Anyway, Ilfa came who is not as great a sage as Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the composer of the Mishnah. Amar Mashiva Ruach Unshav Zika Muridat Ageshem Batamitra. He would just say two words, Mashiva Ruach, and the wind came. He would say, let the rain come down, and immediately the rain came down. That's it. He was so simple. Amar Le Mai Ovadach. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi sees, right? I prayed all day. We fasted. Nothing happened. You say four words, and that's it. Tell me, what good deeds do you do? He says, listen, I am very poor, and I live in a city that's very poor. There's no wine around here for Kiddusha v'Havdala. But I go myself, I go and I make sure to go out of my way and get wine for Kiddush and Havdala, and that way I fulfill the mitzvah for the entire town. So, right, you see how, he doesn't have to do that, and he goes out of his way and does such a great deed, so that's why the rain falls for him. Question?
Is this the same Ilfa that we saw jump on the top of the mast?
Well, that right. It depends on if it's Ilfa or to be Ilfa. So not necessarily the same person.
Because the other Ilfa was in the time of Rabbi Yohanan, and they were both that would make him the student of Rabbi, which would
that's
fit
okay.
Time-wise.
He could be a student even better if he's a student of Rabbi. Yeah. He's like a right. He's much lower down. Rabbi can't do it, and then this student is in business most of the time. All right. I mean, he knows his Mishnah and Baraita, that's true, right? But it looks like it's not necessarily the same, because the point is that it's a simple person, but he does a beautiful mitzvah. Rav ikla lehu atra, gazati ta'anita vela ata mitra. Rav went to a place and they had no water, so he made a ta'anit, but the water didn't fall. The rain did not fall. Nachit kamesh lichad sibura. So some shaliach sibur got up. Amar mashi baruch unshav zika. Amar morid ageshem v'atamitra. As soon as this chazan said, "Let the wind come," the wind came. As soon as he said, "Let the rain fall," it fell immediately. Amar le my avadach. Rav is curious. Tell me, what good deeds do you do? Amar le mikra dar deche ana. I am a first grade teacher. Umakrena libne aniye kibne atire. And I teach poor children, just like rich children, right? I don't, I accept everybody, whatever they can pay. And if they can't afford anything, then I take them without any fee. My great-grandfather was a school teacher, and he was also a barber. If kids couldn't pay for a haircut, he would give it to them for free. That's the story that my father told me about my great grandfather, Hacham Moshe Choderi. Okay, so v'itli pira de chavre v'chol man de fasha meshahadin ale minayu. And not only would I not charge tuition for those who couldn't pay, if a kid got out of hand and he wasn't studying well, I had a fish pond, and I would bribe the kids with fish. Right, come study, and you can play with the fish. And that would calm them down and talk to them in a nice way until they would come and read. So you see how much care he had for education. So because of that merit, he was able to ask for rain, even when Rav, the Gadol Hador, could not. Rav Nachman gezar ta'anita be'arachame vela atam mitra. Rav Nachman also, he made a fast one day, and the rain did not come because of it. Amar shakluh le Nachman haboto min guda le'ar'a. So he was so upset about himself, he said, he cursed himself. He said, throw, I should be thrown from the wall to the ground. Not literally, he should be demoted. I don't deserve to be the Rosh Yeshiva. I should be a nobody. He got so depressed and upset and embarrassed. And then rain came again, paradoxically, because he wasn't answered and he felt bad that I'm not on the level. So he felt modest and ashamed. And then he was worthy to ask for rain. Again, another in the series, Rabba. Couldn't get rain to come. So they told Rabba, Rabba's in the third generation, they tell him, but Rav Yehuda in the second generation, he would decree a fast, and the rain came immediately. How come you're not as great as Rav Yehuda? Amar lehu ma'aved, what can I do? I don't know why. Im mishum tenuye anan adifinan mineh. If it's because of study, we are greater in our study than Rav Yehuda is. That's an amazing statement. In the times of Rav Yehuda, they only studied Nezikin. That's it. They would just cycle through Baba Kama, Baba Metziah, right? They didn't learn anything else. So their curriculum, that's all they knew. But we study all six Sedarim of Mishnah. This is interesting that it just so shows you that at different times they study different masechtot. Some only a few, some a lot. When Rav Yehuda got to Okasin is the very last masechet in Taharot, very technical, all about stems and peels, right? We know that food can become tameh and transfer tameh. But other things that are not edible generally does not become tameh and doesn't combine with the food to make a shiur. And if you touch it, doesn't transfer tuma. However, there are some exceptions. If something is used as a handle, like a stem that you use to hold it, or a peel that is used to protect the food, then that does transfer tuma because it's needed for the food. So the uksin is all about these details and every kind of vegetable and fruit and all about these laws. And when Rav Yehuda got to this ukasin, he wasn't an expert about these matters. For example, Haisha shekobeshet yarak bikdera, bamrila zetim shekibashan betarpehen tehorin. An example, the first example is actually from Mishnah Tehorot, but it's related. And the second example is from ukasin. And both of them are about the similar case. If a woman is pickling a vegetable in a jar, so if you have some vegetable that has a peel on it, that peel, if it's outside, is protecting the inside, therefore it does transfer tuma. However, once you pickle it, then it becomes very loose and is barely connected, so it's no longer acting as a protectant or as a handle that you would use it to more easily handle the vegetable, therefore, it no longer transfers to tum'a. Or similarly, the one in Okasin talks about olives that are pickled with their leaves. So normally, the leaves are useful to help as handles for the olives. But once you pickle them, then they become loose and are barely attached. And so if once they're pickled, even if something tameh touches the leaf, it does not transfer tuma to the edible part. Okay, so see how technical it is. Anyway, Amar Havayot Rav Shmuel Kachazina Hacha. When Rav Yehuda got to this, he would say, "Oh, this is as hard as the disputes between Rav and Shmuel. That's we need them to explain these things. This is too difficult." He couldn't explain them easily. But we study all of these masechtot. So therefore, it doesn't make sense why he can't explain why Kachamid Rav Yehuda could pray for rain and it comes, and Rabba and his generation, he couldn't. Rabba says, we have 13 different studies of Okasin. Either means 13 different versions or interpretations, or 13 yeshivot or study sessions. And so we learn Okasin all the time. We know it backwards and forwards. However, Rav Yehuda, he just took off one shoe and immediately rain came. What's the point? Taking off a shoe is when you have a serious fast, right? We take off our shoes. So he wouldn't even have to take off both shoes and start fasting and praying. Just taking off one shoe, a little bit of a sign of inui, of distress, and he was on such a level, the main rain would come immediately. And we cry and pray all day long, and nobody listens to us. So it can't be because of learning. Maybe it's because of good deeds, and that he did more good deeds than us, and we have something wrong. Please tell us, what did we do wrong? So his answer is, that the leaders of the generation are limited to the worthiness of the generation itself. Rav Yehuda, even though he was not as great, his generation was greater. Me, even though my learning is greater and deeds are just the same, our generation is not worthy. And so, therefore, it's not all about the leader, it's also about the followers. Okay. Rav Yehuda Chazad Hanhu Betere Davuka Parse Berifta. So one time, this is also related to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda saw two people and they were wasting bread. They're throwing it back and forth like a football, like they have extra bread, and they're treating it with disrespect. I guess there's so much plenty in the world that people are not appreciating the food that they have. He was upset about this and he put his eye on it and the world went into famine. People have to learn a lesson. So the rabbis went to Rav Kahana, the son of Rav Nechunya. Rav Kahana was the servant of Rav Yehuda. So they went, so they told Rav Kahana, you, since you're his servant, you're always found there. When I say servant, he's also a rabbi, but students would serve the master. They would, like an apprentice, right? They would follow them around and get them food and help them. And so you're always with him. You have an inside track. So make next time he's going out, make him go by a different door that's near the marketplace. We want him to see for himself the results of the famine that he caused. I mean, he knows intellectually that there's a famine, but when you go and see it, then maybe he'll see it and have mercy and reverse this terrible condition. So he went out and he saw that there was a terrible famine. And everybody was very hungry. What's going on here? This is all these people are gathering around because there's one container of dates and it's for sale. And there's so little food, everybody's fighting for this one container of dates. So he says, it must be that there is a famine in the world. And that's why this, all the, he must have known because maybe he prayed for it. He didn't know what the result or the extent of the result. So he tells the servant, take off my shoe. Take off my shoes. So he takes off one shoe and the rain already came. He was about to take off the other shoe, meaning to do the full inui, and Eliyahu came to him and says, God said, if you take off the other one, you'll destroy the world. That was too much. Maybe you have enough rain. And if you take off the other, she'll be so much rain, it'll flood everything. So that's how great Rav Yehuda was, that it was a simple act. He could turn the water off and turn the water on. And even that, he had to limit himself to the amount that he would do. Okay. So the Mari, son of Shmuel's daughter, said, while that was happening, I was at the bank of the Papa River, and I saw angels that were appeared as sailors, and they were taking sand and filling ships with it. And then as they were pouring it, it became fine flour. And everybody came to buy the flour. The point is that, you know, because the things were so dire, so these, miraculously, these angels were providing flour to people. And so everybody came to buy it. Amina lehu, ameha la tizbenu, demasenisim hu. But I said to them, don't buy the flour because it comes from miracles. Okay, this is not like... So not that there's anything wrong with it. It's not like GM wheat. What do you call that? That's right. That there's something, a problem. So the problem is that we shouldn't rely on miracles like the stories that we started with, right? And don't use up merit. Don't bother Hashem and make miracles for this. Tomorrow there's going to be boats filled with wheat, are going to come from Parzina, and you'll be able to buy normal, regular wheat, and not have to rely on a miracle. After all, the rain just then also started coming. Okay, Ravaik la lehag runya gezat hanita vela tamitra rava. Now, fourth generation. And he went to this place called Hagrunya, made a fast. The rain didn't come. Amalehu bitu kule alma beta'ani taichu. So he said, everyone, you have to continue your fast. And we fasted today, but continue till tomorrow. If anyone, he said, after the next day, after people are fasting the whole day and the whole night, he says, has anybody see a special dream? Rabbi Elazar mehagronya, Rabbi Elazar, who lived in that town, says, so a good dream, and the dream it was told, good greetings to the good master, meaning to Rava, from Ribon, who was good, from Hashem, who was good, in his goodness, he does good for people. Amar, Shema mina, et rasoni mi ba'e rachame v'atem mitra. So that's a good sign. That's a good dream. A lot of goods in there. So now we're ready to pray. And he prayed and he did. Sometimes you just have to push forward and fast a little more. And then they get the rain. Ha'u gabra de'i hayab nagda be'bedina de'rava mishum de'ba'al nuchrit. One time, there was this man who had relations with a non-Jewish woman. And he came, he was brought to the Betin of Rava, the same sage we were just talking about, and he sentenced him, says, you're liable, and sentenced to flogging, lashes. Nagde Rava umit, Rava lashed him, but he died. He lashed him a few too many times. Ishtema mileta be'shavor malka be'al saure le'rava. So the matter made its way to the king of the Persian Empire, Shavor Malka, and he wanted to punish Rava, because although Rava had jurisdiction, Jews could make their own courts and decide civil matters, but they don't have the ability, they don't have the right to inflict capital punishment. So he says, what are you doing? You're a murderer. You can't do that. Amra le ifra hurmiz. Ifra Hormiz, the mother of the king, told her son, says, no, don't bother the Jews, because anything that they want from their master, from God, they pray and God gives it to them. So don't get involved, right? They're very special. That's very nice of her. Amad la maihi. So he says, what is it? What do you mean? What do they pray for that they get? Bayan rachame v'atem mitra. They ask for mercy and the rain comes, right? And she says, I've seen it. I've heard stories about it. They pray for rain and the rain comes. Okay. Now, Shevor Malka, he's very bright. And cynical. Amar le hahu mishum dezimna demitrahu. Says, no, the rain doesn't come because of their prayers. They only pray during the rainy season, right? Every time, whenever Cheshvan Kislev comes, they start praying. So that's why, that's why eventually, yeah, it comes. It's just a coincidence that when they pray, it happens also to rain. Ela li ba'ura chamah idana b'tkufat tamuz. So I have a real test. Let them pray for rain in the middle of the summer when there never is rain. And let's see. And then that'll be a real test if it's because of prayer or just happens to be because of the season. So Yifra Hormiz, the mother, sent a message to Rava. It was the middle of the summer. And he said, have kavanah and pray for rain. So they prayed. The rain did not come. So Rava says, Amar lefanav, Ribono shel olam Elohim, beoznenu shamanu, abotenu sipiru lanu, po'al pa'ata bimehem, bimei kedem. Kotz pasuk says, we've heard how our fathers have told us how you did great miracles in the days of old for our forefathers. We need your help now. Va'anu be'anenu lo ra'inu. We never saw these great miracles ourselves. Ata mitra ad shfuch marzebe, demachoza diglat. The prayer worked. And the rain came and filled up till the gutters of Mechoza overflowed, and it overflowed into the Tigris River. Ata Abu Itchazeh Lebechelmeh. Rava's father came to him in a dream and said, Amalei, we have a dream. We just had a dream in the previous story. All the stories are linked to each other. Amalei, Mika dimitarach kameh shemayaku lehai, someone who troubles heaven so much to ask for rain, not in its season. So again, the criticism of, even if you have the ability to make a miracle and bring it, is it proper to do so? Amalei, shaneh duchtich. So the father says, you're in trouble, and you better change the place where you are, right? There's dangerous forces coming after you. So he did. He changed the place where he slept that night. And next day, he saw, they found his bed was slashed by knives. If he was in the bed, he would have been killed. Okay, kind of spooky story, right? What happened in the night? I guess most people say there was some kind of demons that is this praying for a miracle outside the time also caused a backlash and deserving of punishment, even though it was for a good reason. Nevertheless, it's not proper. And so, but the demons are, you know, I guess they didn't have very good intelligence and didn't know that he wasn't in the bed. I wonder if also maybe there was some kind of political thing, maybe some people in the Persian government were upset that the Jews got such, something good happened to the Jews. So maybe some anti-Semitic forces, some Zoroastrian priests who hated the Jews and didn't want them to look like they had any heavenly power and were, was jealous, maybe they came after Rava. And then it's more likely that these Zoroastrian thugs didn't know where he was. Okay, Rav Papa Gezar Ta'anita Vela Tamitra. And now we're going now to the fifth generation. Rav Papa made a Ta'anit, and the rain did not come. Chalashli be, he was upset. Saraf Pinka de Daisa Ba'ed Achameh. So he swallowed a bowl of porridge and he prayed for mercy. In other words, point is, even though it was a fast day, he needed some strength and he wasn't feeling well. So he had to, he ate something and then he says, let's pray a lot. But the rain still didn't come. Amar Rav Nachman bar Ush Pazti, I sarif mor pinka hariti de daisa temitra. So Rav Nachman tells Rav Papa, maybe you should eat another bowl of porridge and then the rain will come. He's being sarcastic. He's making fun of him. What are you doing? You're eating and everybody else is fasting and you think that's going to help you? So Rav Papa was embarrassed. He says, you're right. I'm eating. Everybody else, he feels so bad about himself and he feels ashamed and low down. And then the rain came because once he felt so embarrassed and low on himself, then he was worthy to pray for rain. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa hava ka'azil be'urcha atam mitra. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was going on the road and the rain came. And it was annoying for him because when you're traveling on the road, you don't want it to rain. Amar lefanav, ribono shel olam, kol olam kulo benachat v'chanina besar. This is Hashem. Everybody else is happy because they have rain and all the farmers want rain. And me, chanina, I should suffer, all right? Because I have to be on a road that's all muddy. Pasak mitra. So the rain stopped just for him. He gets home. He says, everybody's suffering because they need rain. And I'm okay. I don't have fields. I don't care about if there's rain or not. Atamitra. And the rain came. So you see, Chanina could just turn off and turn on the rain just for his personal benefit, even for a short time. Now, what's the deal with that? Amar Rav Yosef, Maya Hanya Lesilotantukan Gadol Gaber Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa. And so Rav Yosef said, look how amazing this Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa is, that even the prayer of Kohen Gadol would have no effect on Chanina Ben Dosa. He lived during the time of the Beit HaMikdash. And the Kohen Gadol, we're going to see, he prays that the rain should fall. And he says, don't listen to the prayer of the travelers. But Chanina ben Dosa, who's just a traveler, Hashem listens to him. He's an exception to the rule. Litnan, haymit pelat tefila kesara bebeit hachison, may mesalel kohen gadol, would say only a short prayer on Yom Kippur. Rabin bar Ada, v'rabba bar Ada, amrit alvam, mishmet Rav Yehuda, yehid asumet fanech Hashem elokeinu shetei hashana zo, geshuma u'shchuna. So what is the short prayer? So one opinion is that he says, may this year be rainy and hot. Hot. Why would want it to be hot? What's the benefit of that? It's worse. Rather, no, you got the words wrong. They said, if it's hot, even if it's hot, I hope it should be rainy and have a lot of dew. So then they will counteract the heat. And they added on the one thing that Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur is going to pray for is, he said, may don't listen to the prayer of the travelers as they're going home. That if they pray for rain to stop, don't listen to them. We need rain. Concluding words to the prayer in the name of Rav Yudah, and he added also, may the rulership power not depart from the house of Yehudah, like they were kings back then, so their rulership should continue. And Bnei Israel should not be dependent on each other for parnasa. People should not be poor, and for sure not that they should rely on a foreign nation, but rather everyone should have sustainable living and should enjoy plenty. So that's the end of the prayer. And there's no answer to this. It's just an exclamation that even though the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur prays not to listen to the traveler, Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa is able to make miracles and even ask for prayer for rain to stop. Although we saw before that you should not pray for rain to stop, even if the rain is too much, and you should not, you know, ask for miracles for little things. But yet he does. And so that's the whole series has in common is, two themes. Number one, using miracles, even for small things, and that one should not do that. And also how the merit of even people that we don't know are so great, they're not famous tzaddikim, they do small acts of kindness, and yet for them they are able to pray, and because they do the real work of doing real good in the world, and so it's in their real merit that the rain actually comes. Baruch Adonai L'olam, amen v'amen.